Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show, where I talk to people about their backgrounds, their experiences, and they give me insights into their fields that they love and they enjoy working in. Now, today I am joined by Steve Watson, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I know worryingly little about. And I say that because I feel I should know a little bit more about this because it affects everybody, and that's social care. Steve lives and breathes it, and we're going to hear a little bit about his backstory, hear about what the industry is going through at the moment, and also how he can help and how his industry can help, not just the industry itself, but also businesses and organizations. So without further ado, I'll bring him in and then we can have a chat about it. So Steve, welcome to The Grow Show. How are you getting on? You all right?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Gary. Yeah, thanks for, I'm glad to join you here. It's been a while. We've tried to get it done, but that's great. Really great to get there.
It has. And do you know what? I'm quite glad we're doing it now because I think now's the time to get this message out. So I'm really happy that we are having that chat. And yeah, over the next 20 minutes or so, I just want to kind of delve down into the world of social care and kind of really pick your brains and to give a bit of it, and for you to give a bit of insight into what's going on, you know, how people can get involved, which I think is the main important question, and not just people, organisations as well. Steve, before we get into it, tell us about how you got into social care, if you don't mind. You know, tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm a registered nurse by background, worked for the NHS for quite a few years, and then I moved on to working within the independent sector, and that was purely when I became a inspector. I'd worked with social care settings in another organization, and then I worked and I trained to become an inspector, and that was in Wales, and I worked within the inspectorate in Wales, and that was my sort of first introduction really from the point of view of looking at regulation and, you know, all the things that constrict people who work within the service, because, you know, there's a lot of regulations, there's lots of different inspectorates as well for where services operate, and it's just, you know, it can be a little bit of a maze to navigate, so there's a lot of work to do that. And I've loved working in social care. There's so many people, there's so much learning, and you learn something new every day. You're learning within the sector, and it's, you know, it's a real family network as well. There's loads of people that are out there willing to help you if you need it. You know, they are there, and I've loved it for since, you know. So I'm still a registered nurse, and I also work with the Royal College of Nursing as well, so I sort of keep those links to keep myself updated as well. Within, I'm not on the front line in practice, but what I do is keep myself updated on the very, very consistent changes within the regulations. And anyone that, obviously the people that went through COVID, will know exactly what that was like on a Friday afternoon at normally around about just before 5 o'clock, when the Department of Health issued a whole load of new guidance for the social care family to navigate.
Well, that kind of brings me on to kind of 2 points. The first point is, how often do these changes now happen? Because obviously COVID was an ever-evolving beast. We didn't know what was happening on a day-to-day basis sometimes. You know, so now we're a couple of years away from, well, a couple of years, COVID's a couple of years behind us, basically. How is the industry now? What is the state of the industry?
It's struggling at the moment. Obviously, we've got a lot of issues around recruitment and retention of staff. Obviously, we unfortunately lost a large amount of staff with regard to the vaccination issue that went on within social care. And, you know, it has been really difficult, and it continues to be really difficult as well. Also, from the point of view of the needs of the people we are looking after, is getting a lot more acute. Unfortunately, the needs and some of the payment and the funding to manage and to look after those people isn't always following the area, the support that we need as well. So it is getting quite complicated. I mean, we're not having the, you know, the consistent changes in regulations and stuff that's consistent at the moment. But, you know, there are still constant changes. And obviously, those people that operate in England within the remit of the Care Quality Commission are also now subject to the new framework of inspection as well. So that's a whole new change to how the regulator inspects our services. So it's a whole new way of getting, and that's what we, myself and other people, other consultants, help people to navigate that system to make sure that they can provide the best evidence that they are providing an outstanding service to the people that they look after.
Well, and that was my other question. In terms of the people who you're looking after, what kind of services do they particularly kind of provide for them? Because we hear the term social care, and some people are going to know, you know, what it means, but actually there's going to be other people who are listening to this show, like myself, who might have an understanding, but that understanding might not be correct because we haven't been through that process. So can you just talk about some of the services, you know, they actually provide on the front line?
Yeah. So the most common ones, obviously, people know is from the point of view of residential care, and that's people who live in a care home. Now, care homes have two different areas. So you have residential care, which means that there is no nursing care provided within that service. So people are supported to have assistance with care staff, with their personal care needs, i.e. washing, dressing, and just basically support during the daily life, really, from the point of view of personal care requirements. And then we have the next layer, which is the nursing care. So you have registered nurses that are employed, and they look after people within a care home setting, and they provide care, nursing care and evaluation and support, and they look after them from that basis. So those are the sort of the ones that people tend to know about. We also have services in the community as well. I mean, they're all in the community, but more in community from the point of view of people who may have a learning disability. They are supported in what we call supported living, which mainly means there's a group of people, three or four, that live in a house. They are supported by care staff who basically support them within their daily and helping them to be independent. The whole thing about this is to have independence is the key, with person-centered care and making sure that they can take an active role within the community, but also have someone there to support them with the things that they find difficult to do on a day-to-day basis. And the other areas of social care is those people who are looked after in their own home, and they are provided. So that has different levels as well. So we have just the primary care where people help them to get up in the morning, get them washed and dressed, help them with their breakfast, their dinner, their tea, then again help them put them to bed at night. And we also have another layer to that, which is the complex care level. So these are people who have complex care needs but also wish to stay at home and don't want to go into hospital. So they are basically supported. This might be someone who has a significant, like have things like a tracheostomy, so things like that, or they have significant health issues that basically, you know, need that support of care. And they're looked after by carers, but those carers are under the supervision of a registered nurse as well, and they're provided with support. So those are really the sort of the main areas that people would be aware of from the point of view of social care.
Lovely. And just while you're talking about that, I was thinking about the people in my life who have used services like that. So when I say actually I wasn't experienced about it and I wasn't aware, I've been aware of it all my life, not really realizing exactly what you know, the areas are, all the way from kind of my grandparents being in different residential homes at different times to my father going through health issues and having supported people coming in to kind of help him. So personally, and I'm sure everybody who's listening, want to say thank you to you for finding that service and actually being able to support people in that, going through those processes. Because the one bit that resonated with me was when you said about people who wish to have their independence and still be at home, even though they're going through all these. And does that mean kind of really putting that person first and actually giving them the options about doing it?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing, the whole ethos, even for people that live within a care home setting, it's all about independent living, and also it's about person-centered care. So we are there to meet, you know, the staff that work in there. At the moment, I don't work in there. I support those people that care for the people that work, that live in the homes or live in the community. But it's all about supporting those people to be able to carry on engaging, going out, meeting friends, having, taking up hobbies, you know, to such a degree that they're able to do that. That's the whole idea of it. You know, people think that people who live in care homes don't get out. They, you know, the thing is, we make sure that they get out and that they are involved in the community as much as they were if they were living in their own home. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, due to health conditions, that always isn't possible. And in those circumstances, we then tend to try and bring those activities into them to make sure that they continue. The most important thing within the care home is the activity program to make sure that people remain stimulated, that they, you know, that they're able to do activities, hobbies, interests and things just as they would if they were at home.
So, Steve, that's great about the independence. You're providing they're still getting the care that they need, but also having that time in the community, which is really important. Are people taking up social care kind of services more now after the pandemic, or has it kind of stabilised a little bit?
Yeah, well, at the moment, Gary, there is a significant increase in uptake of care within the social care area at the moment. People are obviously finding that they're struggling a lot more, and also the fact, unfortunately, that the services aren't that much available as they used to be as well, unfortunately. The hospitals at the moment are struggling from the point of view of capacity for beds. So there is an absolute upsurgence of people who require that care at home and are really wanting, you know, I think from COVID, they're wanting to stay away from hospital as well. And, you know, and I think engaging with social care is, you know, it's something that obviously no one thinks about doing initially, but there is so much help out there for people to be able to be supported within a social care environment, and people are able to read inspection reports and things like that. Consultants like myself will support people to, you know, to navigate their way through the maze. Not to mention also the fact of all the actual different funding streams as well that people have to navigate as well, from the point of view of, you know, whether they're funded by a local authority, whether they have sufficient, whether they have significant health needs, which then means that they have continuing health care, which means that is that care is funded by the NHS as well. So that in itself is a really difficult situation, you know, difficult situation for people to go through. And anyone going to a care home, it's difficult. And we totally understand that. All the people that provide services know that no one in their, you know, no one sets out to live in a care home, but sometimes their needs are just too great for them to be either living at home or supported by a domiciliary care service. And we can help people to make that transition a little less difficult than it might be. And also we work with the providers of these services to help people, to support families, and to enable you to know exactly, you know, what sort of environment is best for your loved one or the people that you care for.
Brilliant. And if people wanted to find more information about that, how could they?
So the first step, I think, really is, I mean, there's lots of organisations out there, Help the Aged, There's also for people who suffer from the horrible disease of Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Society is really helpful. And consultants like myself as well are there to help, you know, to help you to navigate and find out. Local authorities as well, for people that require funding from the local authority, the social care departments within your local authority will also have advice as well in order to give you and support you to find the right service that's that meets your needs. Sometimes there isn't always a great choice, but equally we would do everything, and the people who commission care will do everything that is able to meet your ongoing needs and to make sure that you have the independence and for people, you know, that you have choice at the end of the day and that you are able to consent, you know, to the care that you need and that you have, you know, or anybody who acts on your behalf is supported in that, in the most difficult decision at the time, really.
Lovely. What we'll do, folks, for people who are watching and listening, in the show notes, I will put down a few links that I'll get from Steve after this episode, just to help you along that journey, if that's okay. At least that way, it just helps them and it helps, you know, you at least if you're listening or watching, you've got that level of support there. And you know, it's not just you going through it. You can get support from other people. Steve, while I've got you, I want to talk about businesses and organizations and how they can get involved as well, if possible. So, in terms of getting organisations and businesses getting involved, how can they?
Yeah, so the first step of most organisations is from the point of view of they register to become a provider of health and social care. And that might be either in within a when they bought a care home, or it may be through setting up a care agency. And, you know, we are there. There's a whole group of people who currently do it. There's different ways of actually doing that. You can either buy a care home or you can also enter a franchise agreement if you're looking at health and social care as well. Now, there is so many different ways that people can join the sector as well, but also find that support as well to do it, because registration, you know, with any of the regulatory bodies requires a lot of input, and it also requires a lot of support as well to help people understand what exactly their responsibilities are under the regulations of that regulator as well, and that in whichever region in the UK that they are operating their service from. Because unfortunately, so you know, so one service...
So just where they are, what regulating body they go under.
Yeah, so each country has a different regulatory body. So in England, it's CQC. In Wales, it's Care Inspectorate Wales. In Scotland, it's the Care Inspectorate. And then there's another inspectorate as well in Northern Ireland. And all of those have very similar regulations, but they're all very different as well. And they will have different ways of regulating people to run a care home. And about the end of the day, what they're looking for, the key thing is they're looking for fitness to practice. So they're making sure that you are a fit person to operate a care home and that you have the skills and the knowledge and the staff to do so as well, to make sure that people are protected. Because at the end of the day, it's like any profession from the point of view of doctors or nurses. We have a duty of care for the people that we are looking after. And we need to make sure that all those people would keep those people safe from abuse and any harm that unfortunately we see so often on the TV nowadays.
Is that on the rise? Is that prevalent in the industry?
Sorry.
So is that prevalent in the industry, the abuse and the kind of...
I wouldn't say it's a prevalent thing, but unfortunately, you know, there are times when, you know, we are dealing with human beings and we are dealing with people that sometimes things, unfortunately, will go wrong. But it's about putting the things in place to ensure, so we're looking at effective recruitment, so making sure that we're doing those checks on people before they enter in the sector, you know, making sure that people are protected, making sure that the services are as safe as humanly possible. Obviously, you can't, you know, people do these things, unfortunately. But a lot of it is down to the fact that the systems to stop that aren't effective. So that's what we have to do.
That's fair. And to be fair, the media is only going to report things which are, you know, at the either end of the spectrum. So either absolutely fantastic or the absolute worst. Obviously, if something happens in an industry, we're only getting a snapshot of what actually is going on. So it is very, yeah. It's quite a, I didn't realize we were going to take that little bit, but there you go. We've spoken about it. It's there.
It is.
So is there anything else that we should know about your industry before we kind of finally kind of finish off with a few top tips?
I think the main thing is for people to know that, you know, the network of the sector of health and social care, we are one big family. You know, we are there to support each other. And there are organizations, sort of so many organizations and people. There are people who do training. There are people who run groups, support groups and everything to help people, you know, to provide the best care that they possibly can. And, you know, the only thing that we would ask is that you contact them, you get involved, that, you know, that if you're running a service, that you speak, you know, you get involved with things that are going on out there. We have daily regular podcasts that go on. We have a group called the Care Connect Network, and every Wednesday morning we have a what we call is a huddle. So members that join that network have a huddle and we can discuss all the latest topics that are going on in health and social care. So, yeah, it's an ongoing, you know, business, and we are looking to support as many people as we can. And we're also looking to introduce new people, you know, to come and work in the sector, because, you know, the more people we have, the better we can provide that care to people. So, yeah, come and join us. It's great. You know, it's difficult for things going on, but it's a great sector to work in.
Brilliant. And if people did want to kind of join you in that kind of group, how can they? You know, is a website they can check out? Again, all of these will be in the show notes, but this is your chance to shout out about kind of names and websites and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can join the Care Connector Network, and that's we're on LinkedIn. We've also got the website as well, and you can connect with Ian Clark on there. We also have the Social Care View, which is also run on a regular basis as well. The Caring View, that's on, got a website which has got all a load of details providers on there. And there's also, I mean, get involved with the main shows. I mean, we have road shows that go around. They visit all, there's a major work care show which is held in Birmingham. That's every October, every year. And there's always a network going on. But I think if you join in with a Key Connector, just look on LinkedIn and you will see there is activity going on nearly every day of the week and stuff that's helping people to support. Also, there's skills for care as well, for care, people that work in care. There's a great support there as well to support people. So, yeah, lots of different organisations out there to help you.
Brilliant. And I'll put all those in the show notes as well. Again, just to make it easy for the viewers and listeners to kind of get in touch with them and connect with them. So it's been really enlightening the last kind of 20 odd minutes or so talking to you. And I've kind of learned a lot about the industry and about how people can get involved. And I would urge people to get in touch with Steve, connect with him on LinkedIn, connect with him on Facebook, and also join these groups and get involved. And don't be afraid of asking out for help. You know, you've seen what support they can give and what different levels that is within the industry. And we've only been talking for 20 minutes, you know, this guy, Steve, he lives and breathes it. So please get in touch with Steve. And yeah, the network, the organizations, the support is out there for you. It is. So Steve, before we end the show, have you got any other final thoughts that you want to share?
I think my final thought would be is that, you know, the whole ethos of social care is to provide person-centered care, but also promoting people's independence And that's what it's all about. It's making sure that your loved one can still actively involve themselves in their hobbies and activities, but also providing a really good service so that you can be a brother, a sister, and a son and a daughter to them, other than, you know, where possible, other than being a carer, that you can actually then spend the time to, you know, to carry on living, really, end of the day. You know, life does not have to stop just because people need social care.
Folks, I'm going to leave it there. Steve, thank you so much for your time today.
Cheers, Gary.
Thanks for sharing your messages. Thank you for all the work that you provide your consultants that then provide the general public. Thank you. And for everyone listening as well, thank you very much for watching and listening. This has been a fantastic show. Please connect with Steve. Please connect with him on LinkedIn. Please go and check out those groups and those support articles I'm going to put down into the chat, well, into the show notes. But for now, my name is Gary Jones. I'm from Grow. And this has been The Grow Show. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.